Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, today is Good Friday. And in just two more days, we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday. But did you know that the actual days that Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave were actually earlier this week? That's right. According to the Jewish calendar, Christ has already risen, and it's tied directly to the observance of the Jewish Passover. So the question is, should Christians therefore know about the Passover? And since the Jewish Passover historically preceded Easter, what should Christians know about Passover? What messages or pictures did God actually design into the Passover so Jews and Christians alike would look to and recognize the Redeemer of the world? We're going to talk about this today on Stand in the Gap Today. And to help us better understand the richness, really, truly the richness of the Passover and what God wants us to know about himself because of it, with the purpose that we as Christians can learn from it and better help to share the gospel with not only Gentiles, but particularly our Jewish friends. We're going to invite in a special guest today to Stand in the Gap Today, our Messianic Jewish evangelist, J.B. Bernstein, founder of Gates of Zion. But first, let me welcome each of you to Stand in the Gap Today this Good Friday. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined today by Pastor Isaac Crockett. Isaac, thank you for being on the program with me today on this Good Friday. I know that you're busy at your church, so thanks for being on board here with me.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam.
And with that, Isaac, I'm going to welcome in officially now J.B. Bernstein. J.B., good to have you with us today.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Isaac. Glad to be with you guys.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know this, but J.B. is actually calling in from Friday, and just literally moments before we went on the air, someone ran into the back of his vehicle. He's in his car. He's going to be able to talk to us, but we just prayed and thanked the Lord for protection for him. So this is sometimes the devil works against things, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that because I think today's going to be a special day, even though the devil tried to stop this effort here. But J.B., I want you to start right out. Take just a couple of minutes, please. Tell us about your mission as a Messianic Jewish evangelist. You have started an entity called the Gates of Zion, but I specifically want you just to answer here briefly, whom do you primarily share the good news of Jesus Christ with? Are you evangelizing primarily Gentiles or Jewish people or both? Just tell us a little bit about your mission as a Messianic evangelist.
Well, my call from God is to bring the truth of the Messiah back to the very people he first came to and from whom salvation comes. As the Lord said, salvation is from the Jews. Many Christians don't realize that only less than 1% of Jewish people actually know the Lord. And these were the very people who he first came to. And part of what God has called me to do is to bring this message to Jewish people so they see that the gospel is a Jewish message to the Jewish people about the Jewish Messiah, and also to help Christians understand that they are called by God to bring the message that came to them from the Jewish people back to the Jewish people. One of the places where I minister in Norway, they call it return to sender. So, and it's a very crucial thing, and it's very much part of God's heart, who to this day is broken over his own people. He prayed over only one city recorded in Scripture, Jerusalem. And I believe he continues to pray and weeps also over that city. He wept over that city back then, and I'm convinced he's weeping over that city now, and he wants to equip and release his people throughout the body to bring that message of life back to the people from whom it first came.
Well, JB, this is a great setup. The theme I'm entitling this program here today is the hidden meaning of Passover, what every Christian should know. And that's what we're going to go into it. Let's go immediately right now to the focus of this program today, Passover week. Now today is Good Friday. Easter is just in a couple of days. These are some of the most important days in the Christian and Jewish calendar, JB, but most people, I think, anyways, don't know the rich meaning and the connection between Passover and Easter. Since Passover was begun a long time before Easter, but it's directly connected to it, give us just a bit of history about the Passover. When did it begin? Why is it so important to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel?
Well, understand this, that when Jesus, whom we call by his original Hebrew name, Yeshua, when he was here in the land of Israel in the first century, during his whole life, he celebrated Passover. He never heard of Easter. There was no such thing. And during Passover might be the most ancient celebration, perhaps in all history. Passover has been celebrated for over 3,000 years. Every single year, year after year, Jewish families have come together on the exact same time, which is on the evening of the 14th day of the first month of the year. So you see, we are actually in the first month of the biblical calendar, which today is called the month of Nisan. And on the 14th day, which is in the middle of the month, the moon is full. So on Monday, when Jews all over the world celebrated Passover, the moon was full, and that is when the Passover was celebrated. Now, the very first Passover and every subsequent Passover is all about the Lamb who is slain before the foundation of the world. And that is why when Jesus celebrated and observed Passover, he brought about the hidden meaning of it to his disciples. And again, Jewish people who believe in him, we celebrate Passover, which again was on Monday on the full moon. And that is the day that the Passover lamb was sacrificed, and he was sacrificed.
JB, tremendous, tremendous. Ladies and gentlemen, we are focusing today, because it's Good Friday, on the meaning of Good Friday and looking at the Passover. Our general theme, the hidden meaning of Passover, what every Christian should know. Our special guest, J.B. Bernstein, is a Messianic Jewish evangelist and founder of the Gates of Zion. When we come back after this break, Isaac Crockett and I will continue with our special guest, J.B., how the Passover Seder meal reveals the Redeemer.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com. 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Messiah rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey. The crowds shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who cometh in the name of the Lord." But the envious Pharisees said, "The world is gone after him," and they plotted against him. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. At APN, we lift up the name of Jesus. This Easter week is all about the promised Redeemer. Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, giving His life to pay a debt He never owed, because we had a debt we could never pay. But as it's always been, so it is today. Some by faith alone accept Jesus as Savior and receive eternal life. Others reject Him and sadly choose eternal death. The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping saints for service. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Good Friday special program here on Stand in the Gap Today. With me today is Isaac, Pastor Isaac Crockett, and our special guest, J.B. Bernstein. He is a Messianic Jewish evangelist and founder of the Gates of Zion, that where you can go there to that website, gatesofzion.net, and see what he has there. Our theme today is the hidden meaning of Passover, what every Christian should know. We had a little bit of a history in the last segment. In this one today, and this next segment here today, we're going to talk about the Seder meal. J.B., you have conducted many Seder meals. I was privileged to be a part of one that you led a couple of years ago, and I can tell you I was really blessed by that. So you sat there on the ground in that building, and you led through that entire process. And I'd like this segment here, if we could, to go about explaining to our listeners what the Seder meal is all about. Why it's conducted, what it means to the Jews and to Christians alike. So let me start right off with this very short question to you first, and then Isaac will come back in with some other ones for you. In brief terms, what is the Seder meal? When is it observed, and why is it, before we get into the meaning of it? So what is the Seder meal? When's it observed, and why?
Well, the Seder meal is the first of what are called the Moedim in Hebrew, the appointed times. And so the first day, the 14th of Nisan, which was last Monday, is the Passover. And then the next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Seder meal is a meal that we remember what happened when on the last plague that God sent to compel Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go, who were in bondage for 400 years. He had sent 10 plagues, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened after each one. Each of the plagues are intricately also judgments against the gods of Egypt. For example, the Egyptians worshiped the sun god, and so God sent the plague of darkness. As an example. And the last plague, which was the most terrible, is Pharaoh was considered God, and so his son was also considered God, and so the last plague was the terrible plague of the death of the firstborn. But what Israel was commanded to do was to take a lamb without spot or blemish, a male, and to slaughter that lamb and take, and the blood would be put in a basin, and then they would take the blood and apply it to the doorposts and the top of the doorpost called the lintel of the door. And when that final plague was unleashed, the blood would cause death to pass over the home that had the blood applied. And you see, the reason why Christians would be greatly enriched in this and understanding the Seder meal is because that blood is also the blood, it was the blood of the Passover lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, he not only fulfills the Passover, but he is the Passover. And by his blood, death passes over us today. Actually, in John 5:24, it says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. The judgment of death does not fall upon him, but he passes over from death to life. And so understanding the Seder meal and all of the details of it is a blueprint. Hidden in it is a design, in the sense, just like the creation, there is an intelligent design that is shouting out that the Messiah has come. He is the Passover. He has died. He has been raised from the dead. And it's all in the Passover. I mean, I could go on and on. As you can see, I'm excited about talking about it because it is pure revelation from heaven.
Well, JB, this is exciting hearing about this and to see this enrichment as we see the context unfolded for us, especially a lot of us as Christians oftentimes don't either understand or maybe don't even study the Old Testament as we should. So as we see this observance of the Passover, the Seder, we see the richness of this illustration that God has enriched us by giving this to us, as well as other feasts in the Old Testament. These are pictures that show us God's plan for Israel. It's already, as you said, revealing his plan of redemption through Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Could you just explain then some of these major elements of the Seder meal, then kind of walk us through how these elements point us to God's plan of redemption?
Well, even before Passover, we're commanded to remove all leaven, everything that has yeast from the house. That's really where we get spring cleaning from. And getting rid of the leaven, and one of the topology of leaven is like figurative for sin. So we get rid of all sin, all known offenses against God. We put it away, get rid of all malice, all anger, evil conduct, get it out of you. And so we remove leaven, the physical leaven, but it speaks of removing sin out of our lives and repenting and getting rid of it. So that begins the Passover Seder. And then matzah itself, unleavened bread, if you look at it closely, it is striped, it is pierced, and it is reminiscent of the Messiah himself, who was pierced. They pierced my hands and my feet. In Zechariah, it says when he returns, it says they will look upon him whom they have pierced. So the Messiah is the pierced one. He is the unleavened bread, unleavened meaning he had no sin. And so this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Yeshua himself said, I am the bread of life. But this is the kind of bread he was talking about. He was talking about unleavened bread, And when you are able to participate and experience Passover, you see this more clearly. Also, an incredible thing is that Jewish people throughout the world, there is something called a matzah tash, which has three pieces of matzah in it, three slices of unleavened bread. And it is a tradition to take the middle piece, break it in half, wrap it in a cloth, and then bury it during the Seder meal. It's amazing. Jewish people do this throughout the whole world for centuries, have no idea why they're doing it, and it's buried at the end of the meal. The children look for it, search for it, and it gets taken up or raised, and then it is shared by all. That is called the afikomen. It's the only Greek term in the Passover Seder. And interestingly, its meaning is it's what comes after, or he who comes. And when Jesus took that bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat of it." So the afikomen, the piece of matzah that is wrapped, in a sense, in linen, in cloth, buried, it's raised up at the end and divided among the family, speaks so clearly of the body of Messiah. And that's just one of the elements during the Seder meal.
JB, I'm listening and I'm just I'm overwhelmed because I can see the picture. Jewish people, as you say, have been doing this for thousands of years,
3,500 years. Yes.
What is a Jewish person looking for? I mean, you say the way you describe it, it is so clear of the picture of the Messiah who has come. Why isn't that connection made in more people's lives and their understanding?
Well, I think it's multifaceted, and I think one of the reasons has to do with a great need for the body of Christ to repent over the centuries, even almost 2,000 years, of a really anti-Semitic spirit, attitude in the church, where the Jewish, you see, the gospel, this is very important. The gospel to Jewish people for the last 2,000 years.
JB,
yes, we'll
hold that right now. We're going to go right into that in the next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a special Good Friday emphasis here on Standing the Gap Today, the hidden meaning of Passover, what every Christian should know. Our special guest, J.B. Bernstein, Messianic Jewish evangelist, as Isaac Crockett and I are walking through the meaning of Passover. And just as J.B. was heading that way, right there, we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk about how understanding the Passover should better motivate Christians how to witness the Jewish people.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
I'd like to remind all of the listeners today on our program that you can pick up the archives of this program, listen to it again, or any of our programs by going to StandInTheGapRadio.com. In addition to that, I would like to encourage all of you who are listening to download our app just by going on your phone, Android or iPhone, to Stand in the Gap. Put those words in there, and you can download for free the app. Listen to this program live or any of what you would find on our website. I encourage you to do that. Now, we're going to go forward now here. J.B. Bernstein, you were talking just before the break. You were talking about the meaning of the Seder and how it really should motivate us as Christians. And I want to go into this matter here now with you. Jewish families observe this wonderful tradition. They look towards the Messiah. And I was asking you the question, why is it that more don't really understand that the Messiah has come? They're still anticipating that Jesus, the Messiah, will come. Now, I know you have a real love for your Jewish people, and so do I. And I know Isaac does too, and actually has some of his family in the past have had ministries to Jewish people. We know that that's an important thing, and we rejoice in the fact that because Christ came, that we, I'm speaking me and my Isaac as well, as Gentiles, have now become a part of the spiritual commonwealth of Israel. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. And I think sometimes we too often take that for granted. But let me start out with you right now. Could you share with our Christian listeners, primarily on this program, how that better understanding the Passover of the Seder meal you just walked through, and this time of year in particular, should help us be more effective in our witnessing to our Jewish friends? Kind of laid down. You were going down that road of priority of the message of the gospel to Jewish people. Build that out a little bit, if you could.
Well, what I was saying is mostly the gospel to Jewish people for the last 2,000 years has tragically been, be baptized or we will kill you. And it's almost like this. When Jewish people read Moses, the Word of God says that a veil lies over their minds. Well, my discovery, ever since my eyes were opened about 40 years ago, is that when Christians, most Christians, not all, read Paul, there's a similar veil that lies over their minds, because they don't really see that Jesus lived his entire life in the land of Israel, that all of his apostles were Jewish, that all of his disciples were Jewish, and that they celebrated Passover. They never knew about Easter. They celebrated the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah, not his birthday. They celebrated all of the feasts of the Lord. They met at the temple. They went in the synagogues on Saturday, on the Sabbath. And so what was a Jewish culture has changed to what today is a foreign culture to Jewish people. And so in a sense, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, has become a foreigner. And even the biblical account, when we read the gospel, we see that the people flocked to him. The leaders of the Pharisees were very careful what they did with him because they feared the people. Well, it wasn't that they feared Indians or Chinese people. They were fearing the people of Israel because the people of Israel were thrilled. He was famous in Israel, and I believe God has called me and you to make him famous in Israel once again. And by Christians understanding things like the Passover and being able to explain to Jewish people that, hey, I have become part of the covenant that God made with your people. I love and I serve your God. I worship your God. I read your book. You see, Jewish people have never heard that. They have been told, you need to convert to our religion. You need to become one of us, when that is not biblical. Because Christians, just like you mentioned, become part of the commonwealth of Israel. They are grafted on to the olive tree, which is their tree. The Jewish people are the natural branches. Those who are not born Jewish are wild branches grafted onto a cultivated olive tree. And the Passover is such a striking example of the riches of that olive tree that are not really, Christians are not being nourished by it because they bypassed it. And yet, as you can see, it's so rich.
Well, that gives some great perspective, JB. It helps us
really understanding this context around it. And you've really helped emphasize this theme that Sam started out with about the hidden meaning of Passover. And it's interesting that it's oftentimes hidden to us as Christians. But like you said, even the understanding of Paul and his explanations in the New Testament is hidden oftentimes to the Jewish people, that they don't realize that Jesus did come and fulfill this. And of course, on your website, Gates of Zion, there's so many good tips and helpful things. But as a Gentile believer who, as you say, we're part of this commonwealth through Christ, do we need to be afraid to try to witness to Jewish people? Are we less effective because we're not Jewish when we're witnessing to our Jewish friends?
It's quite the opposite. Most Jewish people have come to faith through the witness of a Gentile who has made a decision to love Jewish people by blessing them. And what is the greatest blessing that you can give to a Jewish person? Salvation. So, no, it's the opposite of that. But Gentiles, those who are not born Jewish, need to understand and learn. And the Apostle Paul said it clearly, to the Jew I became as a Jew. So to understand how to communicate to a Jewish person, that's what my website is designed for. It used to be about my ministry. Instead, now it is an equipping portal designed to help Christians understand how to speak to Jewish people in their own language, through their own culture, that it is their Messiah who has come, and that it's impossible that Jesus, that Yeshua, is not the Messiah. And anyone that desires truth amongst the Jewish people can see that if they are gently drawn to consider these things and recognize that they don't need to convert. In fact, the Jewish people are the only people group that do not need to convert to another religion. They need to get back to where they once belonged, as the Beatles once sang.
Wow, that is so helpful, and that, like I said earlier, it gives a different perspective that many of us aren't really looking for. But we see this now as you explain it, that it gives us an option, an impact to have with our unsaved loved ones who maybe are Jewish, and that they really, like you said, they don't have to convert, because that's what Jesus, he came as Jewish. And my grandfather, he just recently moved in with my aunt and uncle, but for the last 10 years, he's lived in a retirement community that was run by Jewish people. It's for Jewish people. And he is a survivor of the Holocaust. He was part of the Dutch underground. And he came to know the Lord, but also came to have a great respect for Jewish people during his time in the Dutch underground. And it has been neat to see what you're talking about. And I have found myself talking to Jewish people that there is, I think, in me, an innate fear that, oh, no, I'm an outsider, I'm a foreigner, but to remember that Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the law. Are there any points that we should take, any maybe scripture passages that would be good for us in remembering to talk to when we're talking to a Jewish person?
Well, on my website, www.gatesofzion.net, I have an ebook that I wrote. It's for free. You just need to give your email address and your name, and it is sent to you by email, a link so you can have it for free. It's called 5 Steps to Provoke Jewish People to Jealousy. And yes, there is a way to really make Jewish people jealous, because really, Christians have the inheritance of Israel. They, you know, I teach in that little ebook, I say, when you approach a Jewish person, what you're saying to them is, I love, I worship, I serve your God. I am part of the covenant God made with your people. And thanking them for the Bible also speaks volumes.
J.B. Bernstein, tremendous, tremendous information. I tell you, my heart is really touched. I've had a love for Jewish people for a long time. And I will tell you, understanding these things that you are saying makes it so very, 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 very rich. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you are enjoying the program today. When we come back after the next segment, we're going to go and wrap this up. And we're going to ask the question, if there were no Jewish people, think about it. We'd have no resurrection. Think about that. We're going to talk about what we should walk away from really understanding.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we wrap up today's program here on this Good Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today, we've been blessed to have our special guest, J.B. Bernstein. He is a Messianic evangelist and also the founder of the Gates of Zion, which you can go to. A lot of good information there. GatesofZion.net is where you can find that. But JB, as we wrap up the program, and I'll just say again, it's been a real blessing to have you on. The insights that I learn from Jewish people about what the Bible says, and particularly those who've come to faith in Yeshua, is just an amazing thing. It's rich, rich, rich. If I could ask you, though, here, JB, as we wrap this thing up here today, if there is one vital connection between the Passover and Easter, which the world is going to be observing here in just a day or two, what would be that one most important connection do you think that Christian people should remember about Passover as we are about now to celebrate Easter?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing. On the Passover plate, which has, the matzah, and one of the things is a bone. And the bone reminds us of the Passover lamb. And the amazing thing is that when the Passover lamb was eaten, you could read in Exodus that they were to eat it in haste. They were to eat, to consume the whole thing, and not to break a bone. How interesting was it when the Lord was crucified that the soldiers went over to the first, and there were two thieves that were crucified with him, they broke the bones of the first, but when they went to the Messiah, they saw he was already dead, and they did not break any of his bones, and this fulfilled the word of God, not a bone should be broken of the Passover lamb. So here is the death of the Messiah, including the way he died, and even the actual event where his bones were not broken, relating right to the Passover lamb that was slaughtered in Goshen right before Israel left Egypt before the plague of the death of the firstborn. That, to me, it just shows the intricate design of God in this feast to bear witness and the prophetic clarity of what it was speaking about, so much so that when the Lord appeared, the prophet, who actually Elijah, there's an actual empty place for Elijah at the Passover Seder, because Elijah is tied up with the coming of the Messiah, and Elijah and Yeshua said John or Yohanan is Elijah who is to come, and he announces him. His first words when he saw Yeshua is, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Isn't that absolutely amazing?
Oh, it is. It is. It is. Isaac.
Yes, it's so amazing to hear how you describe this. And as Christians looking at this, we see all of this coming into fruition. We see all the connections, just as you've explained it through Passover. And it's so wonderful to have this knowledge. As we look at this Passover feast and we realize that understanding it, having the context of it, makes a powerful impact on what we do as Christians, on our belief and our understanding of Jesus, what he came to fulfill. We remember that the Passover is not the only feast that is celebrated, and there are many feasts on the Jewish calendar. Would you maybe take a little bit of time to tell us some of the things that are coming up next on the calendar and what we should, as believers in Jesus Christ, be looking forward to with those?
Well, amazingly, yesterday, Wednesday, was first fruits. In other words, the Lord rose on the third day. Yesterday was the third day, and that is the feast of called Bikurim, or first fruits. Of course, he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So he rose from the dead on first fruits, and now 50 days from the Sabbath, following Passover, is called Shavuot. Christians know it as Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit fell. So you see, everything about the life of Jesus, of the Messiah, has to do with one of the feasts of the Lord. So the Lord is crucified on Passover. He is raised from the dead on Bikurim, or first fruits. The Holy Spirit falls on Shavuot, or Pentecost, and then the next feast, prophetically, that has not taken place yet, is the Feast of Trumpets. And we know that the Lord will descend with the blast of the trumpet. So, you know, on the prophetic calendar, all of the feasts of the Lord is fulfilled in him. And so we're waiting now. One of these Feast of Trumpets, also called Rosh Hashanah, but really more accurately called Yom HaTruah, the day of the blowing of the trumpets, of the not only of the trumpets, of the shout. And it says the Lord will descend with a shout. So, you know, as I talk about this, it just excites me, because it is so prophetic and it's all about him. And he said, "My words are spirit and life." And all of these feasts are the word of God, and he is the word of God. So he is all the feasts. So you can just go deeper and deeper with these realities.
JB, I tell you, my eyes tear. I'm thrilled to my heart by this. We're going to have to close the program now, and you're right, we could go much further. But I would like for you to pray here in the last remaining 45 seconds or whatever. Pray for the people of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for God's people to have a greater burden for his people and for those who are not yet saved. Could you do that, please, for us?
Yes. Belohe Abraham, Belohe Yitzchak, Belohe Yaakov, in the Father, in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we ask you to open the eyes of Israel and to open the eyes of your church, of Christians, so that they begin to fulfill what you spoke about in Romans 11:11. And in fact, that evangelism takes on the pattern that Paul said, that I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, but to the Jew first. Lord, restore that pattern, fulfill Romans 11:11, and cause Christians to start making Jewish people jealous. And Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of Israel. Lord God, give them dreams, visions. Bring them home. Bring them home into your arms in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the King of glory. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us on this special Good Friday program, the Passover, what it means. I pray that as each of you go forward now through the balance of this day and into Easter weekend, remember the Passover. Yeshua has come. The next point is he's going to come back with the shout of the trumpet. Be ready for that.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.